Recording in progress.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Good morning, everyone. As we get an opportunity to come together this morning, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate all the heroes that gave their life for the United States of America. We thank you for their families. We thank you for the goodness that this nation has been able to reap because of them. Father, continue to lead us, guide us, anoint us. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.
Bishop Ask, please lead us in a pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
I am here. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
A few additions to executive session, Commissioner. Item D, letter of support for the City of Raton. Fisher's Peak MOU, that'd be item E. Item F, TNC grant proposal. And item G, policies, minimum balances.
Entertain motion, please.
Motion to accept the agenda with those changes.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item two, consideration of minutes, regular meeting minutes of May 18th, 2021. We've all had those, had an opportunity to review them. Do we have any questions or concerns? If not, entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the meeting minutes of May 18th, 2021.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, special meeting minutes of May 20th, 2021. If there are no concerns, we'll entertain a motion at this time.
I move to approve the special meeting minutes of May 20th, 2021.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Reading of correspondence, Commissioner Main reports. Commissioner
Hatch,
would you like to go first this morning?
On May 20th, we were glad to see that Action 22 stopped right here in Trinidad. We got to visit with Sarah Blackhurst, and she did a pitch. We were able to, Phil Rico and I were able to tell the community how beneficial Action 22 is to rural Colorado, and it was nice to have him here. Well, I guess we'll be having the annual meeting here in a month or so, also for Action 22. On the 21st, CCI had the Legislative Steering Committee meetings, some confrontational ones, and I'll let Felix delve into that. And on May 27th, SCED was here to help us try to figure out how we want to spend our money. That's all I got.
Richard Lopez.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much. The previous meetings, May 20th, Action 22, as well, I attended a meeting and the SCIF 27. As Commissioner Tony has mentioned, CCI, we had a roundtable discussion in which the conversation and dialogue around a couple of bills, Senate Bill 238, actually was pretty contentious simply because of the eminent domain that outlines in there. And basically, this is one of those bills that's going to go into a perpetuity. Several votes were taken. We couldn't come up to a consensus. As you can tell, the counties are pretty troubled with this whole thing. Another bill that was spoke about was the transportation bill, which is actually going to be taxing so many things to include gasoline more to the road infrastructure, attempting to collect over $5 billion. And since Proposition 117 on the November election was declined, this whole thing has created another roundtable of a very, very strong dialogue. That bill is also was pretty contentious. There was one of the bills, and I forget the number, but certainly we have for the audience, we have those bills and the table of bills and their comments on the San Luis County .net website. but it was a gun legislation.
256.
Yeah, Senate Bill 256, 21-256. And that particular one from CCI was defeated 75% to 25%. Basically, what that does is it would give the authority and the ability for each county to implement new gun regulations, and that would create confusion. And it would also put gun owners, rifle gun owners, at a disadvantage. So very contentious. One of the oncoming conversations that we're going to be having as we are getting ready to go to CCI conference also is updates on all this legislation that's happening. But more than anything, we're going to see if we can have a breakout session on the American Response Plan funds to see how we're going to be spending those. Briefly and last but not least, is had an opportunity to go to with the Masons and yesterday, and we had a celebration at three sites, the Catholic Cemetery. We honor the fallen veterans also at the Masonic Cemetery and then at the Walker Center on behalf of my fellow county commissioners. I said a few words at each one of those gatherings, and that's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner. On the 26th, we convened for a work session with elected officials and our health department and our HULA director to discuss the American Rescue Act. We have some good dialogue between parties, and we are moving forward with how the dialogue will be coming forward to us in the federal government on the parameters of how we can access and utilize those funds to the best of our abilities. On the 27th, we had a Council of Governments board meeting. Unfortunately, we did not have a quorum. However, we did get a very positive a director's report from some of the directors, and not so positive from some of the directors. We're still having a huge employment shortage and staffing issues with Council of Governments. So if we have any community members that are in need of work right now, please contact the Council of Governments. They are looking for staffing in both counties, especially for the field services, care services departments in both Weber and Los Angeles County. And also the child care centers are having difficulty finding staffing. So please reach out to Council of Governments if you have any questions on that. And then, of course, we all met with Skip the other day as well. So that's all I have, and we will move right along to public comment. Do we have any? There's nobody in the room with us today. Do we have anybody online who wishes to address the board? If you do, please unmute yourself. We'll give you 3 minutes. Seeing none, we'll move on to presentations with Julie Knudsen. Julie, can you hear us?
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me. I might share my screen just to share a short presentation, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, it says host has disabled participant screen sharing.
Now try it.
Okay. There we go. Okay, so I'm joining you today to request that Los Angeles County be a partner on our grant application for a Colorado Parks and Wildlife grant, the Purgatory River Watershed Collaborative Conservation and Recreational Regional Planning Project. Yes, sorry, it's quite a mouthful. Purgatory Watershed Partnership is partnering with the City of Trinidad and a host of other partners. And we are applying to the Colorado Outdoor Regional Partnerships Funding Program. In an overview, this is a new funding program or a new grant opportunity They're working on developing the statewide conservation and recreation plan. And so they are inviting select coalitions to apply for funding to develop their own conservation and recreation plan in their region, which will then directly inform the development of the statewide conservation and recreation plan. They have a vision that in 2050, that Colorado's people and economy will thrive, and they do take into account wildlife, communities, agriculture, and a lot of outdoor recreation opportunities that are developing. Their priorities are wildlife and natural resources, sustainable outdoor recreation, collaboration and public comment, advancing conservation and recreation planning, and addressing community needs and equity, diversity, and inclusion. So why I think that we should be developing this in our watershed, I don't think this is a news flash that we have a lot of outdoor recreation happening pretty quick here in the watershed. We have a lot of amazing natural resources that need to be protected. And we're a largely private land agricultural watershed that I feel like outdoor recreation exploding here could use some careful guidance and input from everyone that can be affected and is already being affected. I think there's pros and cons to this development. I absolutely support it, but it just needs to be done carefully. And we're already seeing some growing pains, I think, on private property of fences being cut, people not understanding water rights, maybe not fully understanding that they're not allowed to play on private lands, et cetera. There does seem to be a big gap between new recreators. I'm old enough to call myself an old recreator. I grew up with a lot of outdoor ethics and understanding private lands and property rights, but I think a lot of new recreators to the state and to our watershed don't fully understand that. They don't understand agricultural values and the importance of respecting a lot of the agricultural infrastructure and activities. And how critical it is to shut a gate or to not cut fence and the implications of that. So I think also we're doing a lot of recreation development in individual silos, which is great. Everybody in the watershed is doing really great work, but I think we could all benefit from talking better together. And there's also more opportunities for more equitable access for diverse recreational groups, such as more ADA accessible recreational opportunities. So I see a lot of potential here to do a more comprehensive and collaborative effort moving forward with a heavy educational component and obviously some problem solving as well. So I see the outcomes from this effort being mutual improved understanding and collaboration. All voices will be heard. Everyone will be able to share their concerns and support for recreational development in our watershed. But we'll be able to hear from everybody and develop a mutually acceptable vision and plan for moving forward that clearly outlines concrete needs and priorities and next steps for securing funding to accomplish this. And equally as important, this will give us a voice at the state level for developing their conservation and recreation plan, which I feel is really important for agriculture as well as for outdoor recreation happening here. And next steps after this is that PWP will absolutely be going after funding to implement the plan. There's no point in doing a plan if it's just going to sit on a shelf. So that would absolutely be next steps. And that's what I have for you.
Thank you, Julie. You have some time for some questions from the board? Can you hear us? Maybe I'm muted. Can you hear us, Julie?
Oh, yes. Sorry. What was the question?
Are you open to taking questions from the board?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, Julie, thank you so much. One of the, what is the distance if the grant is approved that would be covered on this particular water program? And then also when you talk about private property, what is the plan that you propose to educate both private landowners as well as the recreators, as you mentioned?
Yep, so the proposed region, because I work obviously only in the Purgatory watershed, so we're proposing for the entire Purgatory watershed, would be our official region. I'm also partnering with Jared Chatterley of the new Trinidad Office of Outdoor Recreation at the city, and he works more regionally, so I think it's a really nice dovetail to add in regional components as well, although for the focus of the grant specifically, it's just the Purgatory Watershed Partnership. And then I feel that things like better maps, more signage, I mean, those are two better online outreach to share with new recreators and new residents, frankly, of where private land begins and where public lands end would be very helpful. And then also for private landowners, you know, I guess I don't feel it's as much educating private landowners as it is developing a plan to provide better support for them. If their fences are being cut, maybe help them develop some better fencing. I don't know, you know, marking private property doesn't always help. But in talking to one guy, he has birders that will come and just park on the side of the road and pull out their binoculars and start staring up at his house and around his property. And they're innocently watching birds, but nobody really wants someone staring with binoculars into their property. So we're developing guidebooks as well, birding guidebooks and plant guidebooks. And so I think in any guidebooks we develop, there needs to be a page that explains what's appropriate behavior if you're anywhere near private lands. And I think brainstorming a lot of other opportunities, but those are just a couple ideas.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Yeah, with this flooding that has occurred, have you been down to the picket wire diversion there to see if there was any damage? Do you know if there was? Because it was pretty silted up there, wasn't it?
Yep. So they were down there last week with a dozer clearing out debris and a lot of sediment just so they could get their head gate working again. And yes, if you haven't been along the Riverwalk or parked at Club 14 and checked things out, there's quite a lot of debris that has accumulated around that dam.
Question I have, and maybe you know, maybe you don't know the answer, is there's a private enterprise that does a tubing business here in Trinidad. Familiar with that? So
yep.
A lot of folks ask me, where's their take in and take out at, and where does it stop? Because right past them, not now, the water gaps have been washed out, but with that high water we've been having over the past week, we've seen a lot of people going tubing underneath the Kit Carson bypass and further east down the river. So where does the legalities, if you know, of where they can start and where they have to get out?
So as the Purgatory Watershed Partnership, we personally support putting in and taking out on public land. So if you put in, you can put in at the top of the Boulevard Edition and float down to the takeout at Club 14, Walter's Purple Toad, now Club 14. And that's the section that PWP supports. I think he does extend starting further up and taking out at Kit Carson. I think technically Kit Carson might be private property, but I do know a lot of people will take out there, you know, so if they're not stopping anywhere along the way, maybe that's okay to take out at Kit Carson. Although we lost a bit of land below the Kit Carson Bridge, so I think takeout might be a little tougher there. But PWP officially only supports that city stretch.
Okay, and the other question I have is on waterways, as long as the way I understood it years ago, from rafting the Arkansas River, was as long as you didn't get off your raft, you were okay in a legal state to be on the river. Does that stand true, or how does that work? That change? The reason why I ask, it's because I live past the Kit Carson bypass, and we saw those people in my backyard floating down the purgatory. So what is my legal stance?
Yes. So part of our grant application is holding the first ever conservation outdoor recreation conference in spring 2022. And we will absolutely have speakers there. Well, there'll be panels for everyone to voice their opinions and ask questions, but also having some water and property experts come speak to who owns the water, who owns the property, who owns the land under the river, who owns the land on either side, and addressing some of those very questions.
Thank you, Julie. That's all I have. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, and I look forward to you considering being a partner on this. We're not asking for any funding, just that we can list you as a partner on this. And one last thing I'll mention, we did not know about this, but just recently found out that Chaffee County is developing, it's called the Envision Project. And they have done a ton of research and outreach and talking to people about developing a very similar plan for Chaffee County. So I think we could probably pull a lot of lessons learned from them as well.
Thank you very much, Julie. You have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
Well, item six, elected officials update. Sheriff Navarette, you're in the room with us. Welcome.
Good morning. I wasn't sure this was live or what anymore. I have agenda, so, I don't have anything new to update. Just basically, I think I informed a couple of you that you get that map for the body cams preliminary. So I'll be working on that. And business as usual. Take care of things.
I think we're going to issue a dozer to the to your team with all the road that we have had.
Probably help. But yeah, we're still plugging on.
Have you had to do any search and rescue with this high water recently?
No, we haven't. I've been waiting for some people to call, but we haven't. We have that vehicle that we can clear about 6 feet of water, so I'll have to keep that in mind if anybody needs us to cross. I think the last storm they said it was about 12 feet. We were trying to get across to see if we could help. I think 6 feet is the minimum.
Yeah, especially up there in Long Canyon.
Yeah, that's where we're looking at. Seeing if we needed to get anybody out. Yeah, 12 foot's a little high.
So cool. Oh, we're going to have a Star Camp budget for a county helicopter next year.
Probably need one. We're going
to have a hand in equipment.
Time of change.
Okay. Thanks, Sheriff. We have anybody from the assessor's office? This is the motto. Okay. About from our treasurer's office, I believe Ms. Lena is up. Our clerk and recorder's office.
This is Joseph. Good morning, everybody. I do have one really positive update this morning. our phase three grant proposal for digitization of our maps was approved in the amount of $26,647. So that will help us digitize our maps and put them on our historical document research site, and that's a great thing. So between the three phases, it will be somewhere around $350,000 that we've received for that for the entire project. But this is phase three at $26,647, and we're excited to do that at some point here in 2021.
Congratulations. What has the usage been like for the previous work that's been done?
You know, really just started getting it going. We started in March, but it really is picking up speed each month. It's getting better, and for the most part, it is bringing in some income too for the county. So it definitely will pay for itself and probably better. But it went from one or two the first month to 30 some people using it the second month, and it just seems to be picking up as more and more people start to use it and are aware of it. And we're going to do some more things to promote it too, so that people know that it's there, and there's a lot of great features to it, and then adding these maps to it is really going to help as well. So it's definitely been a great thing for our office and for the county, and we're happy about this and proud of it.
Good morning. I cannot get this up here to turn.
Have you had an opportunity to advertise that on the county website, Mr. and Mrs.?
We do have it on the county website as far as we've got it listed under recordings and then by year, because we have two. The one site is from 1992 forward. That's the IDOC market site, that the new stuff, each thing we record even up to now that goes on that. But from the inception of our recordings to 1992 is the historical research site. And we do have it on the county website. There's a link for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody from our district attorney's corners or surveyors up? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. Item A, consideration of OBCC number 6961 to Carl C. Smith for $43.80. Mr. Durkin.
Commissioner, before you is, as you mentioned, Commissioner, OBCC request to refund Carl C. Smith registration fees. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Smith, he got a registration and title, and all he ended up needing was a title. So that's what that amount is refunded for just the registration part of it.
I entertain a motion at this time.
Move to approve our OBCC number 6961 to Carl C. Smith for $43.80.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, consideration of OBCC number 6962, a treasurer's tax purchase for $17.60. I think Mrs. Leonetti is on the call. This looks like it's pretty standard. You have any questions from the board? Entertain a motion.
Move to approve OBCC 6962, a treasurer's tax purge for $17.60.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of OBCC 6963 to John Gaber. Zick, I believe how you pronounce the last name, C-Z-I-K-K, or $515.11. Mr. Messis.
Yeah, Mr. Zick did come in and did a registration, and he was charged tax, and then he did show proof later on that he had paid a reciprocal state tax. So that's what this is, just in reference to just the state portion of the tax.
Any questions from the board? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve OBCC number 6963 to John Avery Singh for $515.10.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, consideration of Hallmark Picket Wire Lodge and Store Incorporated liquor license renewal.
Commissioners, I review the application. It is the same.
I as well have reviewed the license very thoroughly, and I have no concerns. Is there any concerns or comments from the board? Okay, a motion, please.
Move for approval of the liquor license renewal for Hallmark Picket Wire Lodge and Store.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and I just have to add one comment that the state is still, not having liquor license to pay for the fees. So that's nice for the state of Colorado to be removing that at this time for public businesses that were affected from the COVID shutdown. So I think 71 item E, consideration of updated Perry Stokes Airport DVE program.
Commissioner, before you is the update for our Perry Stokes DVE program. Receive federal funds, et cetera. We have to have a DBE program, which we do have in place, and our consultant Armstrong consultants have assisted us in revamping this and making sure that we're compliant with all the DBE requirements out at the airport. And our HR director, Kim Chavez, has done yeoman's work working with Armstrong to make sure that we are in compliance with the DBE programs that are required out there. So I'd ask the board to approve this update. And Kim, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Any concerns, Councilor? Okay, motion this time.
Chair, may I just ask one question here? And I know I've read the document. In accordance with the federal guidelines of DBE, what are some of the entities that would benefit from this? I didn't find them listed here. And then also, is there any advantage points for a DBE business enterprise to apply for a project? Do you know?
Kim, do you want to address that or do you want me to take a shot at it?
There's a list that the DBEs have, and whenever we put out a bid, not only for the airport, but for other like my hazard mitigation, we send that bid specifically to that group of businesses.
Yeah, there are businesses that are qualified as DBE businesses, but they have to put in to the FAA, and the FAA will qualify those businesses. Okay. And do they get an advantage? Perhaps it's up to generally the general contractor to seek out DBE-owned companies to assist them in getting those federal monies on these types of projects. So
anytime we put out a bid for that is FAA related, the general contractor does the due diligence in seeking out DBE businesses, and it is at the general contractor to report back before they award the bid.
That's my understanding, okay. Yes. And then they continually update Kim, who continually updates Armstrong Consulting as that project unfolds.
Okay. Yeah, so when the disadvantaged business enterprise program put in, I think that was to help out minority female owned businesses and such, correct?
And we do have some local contractors that do qualify under that DB.
Any other questions?
No, sir. Thank you.
Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the Perry Stokes Airport DBE program.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item F, consideration of Division and Reclamation Mining and Safety Materials Reclamation Permit Annual Report for M200053.
Commissioner, before you is our annual report that we submit to the state along with the fee to Division of Minerals and Geology for our Castillo pit. It's a 112 permitted bit, therefore the fee is $791. Permitted acreage 18.74. I'd ask the board to approve this submission to the state.
One second to get through all the parts. Okay. This is pretty standard. We do that in the direct.
That's correct. We do it for all of our gravel pits, all nine of them.
Any questions from the board?
One quick question, Mr. Bergkamp. Did we get our inspections by the government agency, which is the state of Colorado, CDOT?
We do from the Division of Minerals, yes.
Okay.
Mining and safety, yeah, they'll come down and inspect all of our pits.
Is that once a year?
Not necessarily annually. They'll inspect certain one of them's certain pits annually, they'll select hither and thither. It's not a not a pattern.
Any other questions? Entertain a motion, please.
Move for the approval of the Division of Reclamation Mining and Safety Materials Reclamation Permit Annual Report for M200053 at the steel pit.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item G, consideration of SBBRCEIGA. Commissioner Dorey.
Commissioners, before you is the Spanish Speaks Purgatory River Conservation District, IGA. For your consideration, Attorney Nelson's been through it a number of times. And the Spanish Speaks Purgatory River Conservation District has signed this IGA. So I'd ask the board to consider signing it also.
Thank you. I missed the mute button. They're doing Zooms at home because I could cough. You know, I can clear it. Clear my throat. Excuse me. We've been working on this hashing stuff for 2 months now. So I'm glad we finally got this to fruition. And I think we're ready to move forward with this. Ms. Nelson, do you have any questions or concerns?
No.
Any questions from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the Spanish Speaks Purgatory River Conservation District.
Second motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item H, consideration of the proposed e-gold fast cloud solution. Commissioner Arkin.
Commissioner, before you is, your consideration is the proposed e-gold fast cloud solution. And I believe this is for admin. Am I correct with that, Ms. Coberly? Oh, she's probably with the auditor.
She's with the auditor.
She is with the auditor. And this is Paula. Yes, it is for all the, since we've changed over to the new phone system, we are needing fax access for our fax machines. And so I believe Christy shopped around and this is where we ended up. I think Christy and Hayden worked on this together.
Hi, it's Christy. So yes, this is actually so that everybody can, they can fax through the computer since we're gonna eliminate CenturyLink here soon.
And we have budget for this facility?
We're actually saving budget because since we're going to disconnect most of the phone lines and Goldwyn's will import the line. So we're gonna actually save money in the long run because the phones that we switched over to is SIP.us. So we're saving money there on the phone lines. So bottom line is we will save money.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board? Entertain a motion at this time.
Move for approval of the proposed eGold fax cloud solution.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. IMI, consideration of medical JBPS grant. Sheriff Navarrete.
So about a few months ago, or probably first of the year, we were
meeting with the state jail-based behavioral services. They were getting with us about some contracts and grants that would help our healthcare partners, medical facility, or provider in the facility. So after their review, $100,000.
Excuse me. That's, sorry.
You can do that. So we were granted $100,000 for their programs, and it's at no cost to the county. We have to initially be the vendor for the money. I have spoken with Ms. Coverly about it, and Ms. Nelson has been reviewing. I have to sign a contract. Now she's reviewing it, and but it has no cost to us, and it's going to add $100,000 to their budget technically. So that's good news for the county. They won't have to ask us for money for their services. What they'll use that service for is the mental health. They started several programs initially with, they've been treating inmates, and then after they leave, they're continuing that process, giving them access, different avenues to continue that. So Ms. Torres, the CEO of our healthcare, wants to give you a presentation soon and give you an update as to what they're doing with this money and what our facilities are. She's very proud of what they've done. It's also made an article in some national magazines where facilities listed in Massachusetts, what they're doing with that.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Chairman Everett, since he's here.
Yes, I did have a question. Congratulations, Sheriff. This is really great. One of the conversations that we're having at the state level is actually because the state's putting out so much money for behavioral health and the treatment of mental illnesses. The is there a schedule, a fee payment, meaning that there's not going to be gouging by one company, you know, because these companies are pretty much the providers of these services are accessible pretty much statewide. And the oversight falls back probably on the grantee, which is going to be the sheriff's department to provide reports and so on.
Actually, she's going to provide those reports, her company will. Okay. We'll have no part in that. She'll complete what they've spent the grant on. So technically, we're just the holder of the money, and I think we're going to create a line item for that grant.
So it's a best.
So when she buys or purchases, that.
And they're not to exceed that $100,000.
No.
And is this going to be an ongoing annual funding?
I think it is. For what I remember from the conversations, I think we can apply for this every year. And what they're doing with this money is it's helping her company keep getting this award. They're doing a lot of good programs. So we're going to continue to try to get that grant, which would help their company and county. And also within that grant, she does want to build a part-time medical assistant, which would give our detention officers an opportunity to come in on a day off and just actually work for the medical, and they would get paid out of that line.
Any other questions for Sheriff Everett?
No. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Markowski. Entertain a motion, please.
It's move to approve the medical JBBS grant, Sheriff Everett. Per Sheriff Everett's presentation and document that we have in front of us.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Good job. Yes. Thank you. We'll get all that paperwork sent.
Okay. And once she's ready to do a presentation, just have her contact.
Yeah, I'll get it on the agenda. I think she wants to either try maybe for the next meeting or in July.
And she's located where?
I think she lives just south of Pueblo. But
being the hybrid meetings, it'd probably be a lot easier for her now to do the presentation. So.
I'll see how she wants to do that. But she comes through every now and then, so she wants to talk. Check with her.
Thanks. Thanks, Sheriff. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Item 9, financial managers, consideration of bills and payroll for the second half of May 2021. Mrs. Fogarty, are you available?
I am. I'm available. Payroll as of May 31st is $162,656.49. Bills paid on May 19th, $97,704.52. Bills paid on May 26th, $28,005.12. Any questions?
Any questions from the board for Mrs. Coverly?
One quick question, Mrs. Coverly. I know this one. On the payroll, on some of the employee, let me pick employee A, line item one unit, and then it has basically the same employee, line item one, and then line item two. Is that how we're breaking up the line item one, the overtime, and then line item two, the regular pay?
Are you on page four? What page are you on?
Yes.
Page four? Mm-hmm. Page four, I think if you're looking at the top of the page, I think that's comp time. I think that's okay. The comp time actually, that's logged. Kim, when it says CE 1.5, isn't that when you log the comp time?
That's that they earn the comp time at time and a half.
Yes.
So that's anything over 40 hours.
Right. And then the one that says comp time is what they've taken as comp time.
So, Christy, when I look at the chart of accounts and the commodity folks that we've got for the financial, I guess, is there a legend that explains the CE 1.5? And then, of course, the 0534, it's referenced to exactly what that is.
The zero what? What is? What are you looking at? The zero what?
Yeah. It says pay code, and then it has number.
Oh, that's an employee. That's an employee number.
Okay, very good.
All those numbers that every employee has an employee number. So it's saying that this is the number to this employee. So okay. The CE 1.5 is that they've earned comp time. So we've logged it, and then below where it says comp time, they've taken the comp time.
Okay. And okay. It's still, I'm using the old chart of accounts that I got 3 years ago, so that's still pretty much up to par, correct?
Right. And if you want it, if you want a copy of actual, because Kim can print you one with actually of, I guess, what everybody's taken, what everybody's earned, you know, if you'd like a copy of that, she could probably print that for you.
I'll talk to Kim later on. For now, thank you so much. You answered my
question. Sure, you're welcome.
Any other concerns or questions from Mrs. Coley? Entertain a motion, please.
Move to approve the bills and payroll for the second half of May 2021.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Petey Sopas?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item 10, executive session. The board will meet in executive session under CRS 24-6-4024B, conferring with the county attorney. For the purposes of receiving legal advice and specific legal questions, item A, Cooper Canyon, Jim Leslie, item B, Hope Lloyd Settlement, item C, public declaration letter for sheriff, item D, letter of support, city of Reptile, Barlett Mesa purchase, item E, Fisher's Peak, memorandum of understanding for $50,000 matching funds, item F, TNC grant proposal, property tax backfill, item G, policies, minimal balances. Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to go into executive session.
Second motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call, and have a great day. Five-minute recess.